Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, this morning as we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, Father, for this privilege to be sons and daughters of the living God. We thank you, Lord, for choosing us among millions and millions of people upon this earth. But we are glad, Father, we're not just this few here in this congregation. We know, Lord, we are part of the whole, of your family that is scattered around the world in different places. Knowing that, Lord, those that are yours and those that the Father has given unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as the scripture said, Father, we know no man can take them out of the hand of our Savior. And we commit, O Lord, this time to you with the full assurance, O Lord, that thou art in the midst of us, to guide us, to teach us, for that's what your Spirit is given to us for. That we may come into the fullness of thy word. That we may not be tossed to and fro with strange doctrines, Lord. For we are living in the last day, as according to the words of Paul. That in the last day, many shall fall away from the faith and give heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of demons. So, Father, we ask for your grace that the word of life that we are now entering into partaking of it, that the Lord will give us strength, give us wisdom as we walk in this world of darkness and great confusion. We commit this time to you now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And I'd like to go to the book of Revelation, where we left off in chapter 2. And today we are dealing with the Ephesians church's messenger and his message. So we are looking at the book of Revelation chapter 2, where now instead of looking at the church age, we are looking at the messengers. Now just briefly, right quickly here, as I said this last week here, this first church age sets the standard for the rest of all the other churches. And knowing that, as I said, the church began only with wheat, and as the gospel went forth, over a period of time, less than 20 years, the Jews start rejecting the truth, as Paul was sent forth to minister unto them. The more revealed the word of God. And of course, there will always be opposition of those who are very deep in the traditions of the Mosaic law, or in Judaism, that will always oppose Paul and wanted those Gentiles who came into the gospel to be circumcised and put the people, the believer, in bondage. And Paul preached a gospel of liberty, a gospel of grace. Grace can never be mixed with the law. For if there be law, grace is no more grace. If you were to keep the commandment, you have to keep all the commandment. And if commandment can save you, grace will have no effect on you. Because we are not saved by works, but by grace, in the faith that God has given us. And so within, of course, 20 years, then the church started. And now we are in this age, and we know that the first messenger was Paul. So now, we just go to the scripture. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things say the Amen. I say, he that holds the seven stars in the right hand, who walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now here, as I said this, we need to always understand term, the word angel. Because there's a lot of failure to understand the word angels. Even among many believers, the end time message. Whenever the Bible mentions angel, everybody jumps to the conclusion that it is a spirit being. One who is from heaven. And one who perhaps in the image of many, because of the way it was depicted, it has wings. And I said this many times, the angels, they do not have wings. wings always, when you see angels with wings, they always depict, in the Bible has always flying. Wings means speed. But every time an angel appears to men and talk to men and walk with men and show John appeared to Ezekiel personally or Gideon, everyone, every one of them do not have wings, they are always called men. In the scripture they are always called men because they appear like us. Is that right? You see, so when we talk about the word angel, it simply means always. The word angel from the Greek word angelos always means messenger. Messenger could be anyone whom God used to send a message. Be it angel from heaven, be it a man on the earth, pastor, a preacher, a prophet, that's what it means. So unto the angel of the church, or unto the messenger, unto the minister, we can change anyone what you want or you like to make it understand that this one is not referring to the one up there in a spirit being. Okay? Unto the angel and the messenger of the church of Ephesus write. Therefore it is someone on this earth. And in this particular church age, he was given a certain message to bring to the church. And so as you read, I know thy work and thy labor and thy patience, how that thou hast not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which are the apostles, and are not, and have found them lie, and have borne, and have patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove the candlesticks out of his place, except thou repent. For this thou hast, that thou hatest the deed of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcome, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So, in every age there is a message, not very much, it seems just a few statements made here. But there is a lot of things that is, the message is not just this few words. And it's just a compressed statements. They are just compressed statements that in it you go to history to find out what it's all about. So we know that if God did not send us a prophet to this age, we will not know who the messenger are. Being that I was in denomination one time and we just read this and say, oh, okay, this is referring to a church in Ephesus at that time, and that one refers to the church of Pergamos, or that one refers to the church of Smyrna at that time. There are certain characteristics, you know, which the church in this end time, or any of the church, or every single church in this world, must and somewhat have these particular characteristics in one of these seven church ages. I mean, seven churches. Yeah. You know, so which is, of course, in some sense, that is very true. Some churches, some church in the world today are very characteristic, but perhaps we see that the charismatic, they will fit the recent church. Is that right? And what was it, perhaps like the Baptist or the Presbyterian? Oh, they have certain characteristics that we see mentioned in the church of Philadelphia and things like that. But we know that God put this out, and we realize that this refers to church ages, which in fact many people realize even without the end time message. But only they do not know what these angels think. And we realize that when Brother Man came along and God unfolded to him and showed him that these are actually messengers of each particular age. And we know that by looking into history, and Brother Abraham showed us that the first church age messenger is none other than Paul. And Paul actually set a standard. We know that there are 27 books in the New Testament, and out of which 40, if we include the book of Hebrew, were all written by Paul. You know. And only Paul's gospel was actually all about grace. Whereas Peter he carried the gospel to the Jew, And of course, the Jewish people were always bowing the law. They always hold the law, it's so traditional. And so that's why they want some of them. Not all the apostles agree with that. That's why when Cornelius came to the gospel, they discussed about this issue about the Gentile, what to do with them. And some say, get them circumcised, and they debate over this issue and say, finally, no, we cannot put this burden on them and ask them to be circumcised. But later on, after years passed, you'll find that when Paul went over to Asia Minor and all these churches then in Asia, and found that some of them, some of these churches were confused because they had pharisaical converts. Pharisees were converted, I would say, to the gospel. And they went up there and they told the people, you need to be circumcised. And so troubled the people, and hold a certain law and things like that. So, Paul finally, when the Jew rejected his gospel, he turned to the Gentile and actually bring forth the full counsel of God that he had received from God and give it to the people. And because of his message, you will find no other apostles in the Bible that had such a great revelation as Paul. You see. So when we look into the epistle of Paul, we want to see why was he that messenger? Why was he that a messenger that God used to bring forth a standard for even our church today, even for the church in this end time? Go to the book of Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. Galatians 1, 6 to 9. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or the angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said, as we said before, so may I now say it again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men of God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which I preach of me is not after men. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. God, when he was converted, he was taken out to the Arabic desert there, and he was spending about some good number of years up there. Some estimate that he's probably spent about 3 years out there, where, Lord Jesus taught him the truth. Now here, of course, you see, Paul was some people read as that Paul was arrogant or what, but he was very confident. He was very sure. He knew who he was, that he would challenge anyone. That's why he was so fearless that he would dare to go out and rebuke those who opposed the gospel. Now here I want you to look at it. He says in verse 8, for though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let me say this now. If that, the word angel here, if you think that the word angel from heaven refers to a spirit being coming down and preach to you, you are mistaken. Huh? Of course we know this. The Bible said Satan can transform himself as the angel of light. Yeah, we look at the world today. Yeah, the Pope is a very nice old man. Right? The Pope is a very nice old man. Isn't that so? Am I not right? Yeah. He looks like, so calm, so serene, so harmless, and very holy, sanctified with the God that he was. You see. But that's how angels the foreign spirit will influence the man, or influence people to believe that this man is a man of God. And they will believe. So it is not about a spirit being that came down and preached you the angel. He's talking about a messenger, a minister. If he claimed that he's from heaven, and he preached the gospel contrary to what I have, Paul said, let him be accursed. But if a man is truly sent from heaven, sent by God, would he preach contrary to the word? Not at all. That's the way it's about a man who stands and says, I'm son of God. I'm son of God. And you say, if the son of God, he must be from heaven. Authority comes from heaven. But yet if he preach contrary to the gospel of Paul, then he is not what he claimed to be. So, because how do we know? Hey, look at the next verse. As we said before, so say I again. If any man preach another gospel, see, it's not any spirit being. And I want to say this, that the angels, they do not preach gospel. I'm talking about spirit being from heaven. They don't preach gospel. Neither do they preach the word of God. They are spirit being. What are angels doing? They are ministering spirit. They minister to our needs. When we are down and out, the Lord will send them to comfort us. God will send them message to give to us, message of good tidings, so to speak. But the angel never was sent of God to teach and preach the gospel, teach doctrine. If, as many people believe they do, then you know what? What did God send him to preach? What the Bible said, Jesus, as Paul said, he ascended to the heaven in Ephesians 4, and give gifts unto men. Why don't you give unto the angels in heaven? And let them preach the gospel. So why we are men like us to preach the gospel? Isn't it? It'd be better for spirit being to come down and preach the gospel, because why? They're more awesome. The angels. The people will believe. The whole world will believe. The angels cannot rejoice like us when it comes to salvation. Right? These angels are in heaven. I'm not talking about those that are fallen. I'm talking about these angels in heaven. The good ones. They do not know what salvation is because they were not sinners. They don't know what it is to be saved. Isn't it so? But they rejoice with us because they know that these are sinners and they are saved. But they themselves, not being sinners, and they don't know what it is to experience salvation. You understand what I'm saying? If you do not know, if you don't experience drowning, and someone saved you, you cannot say, you know how the experience is like. You don't. So you need to understand this thing. That's why it is very important, because as we go on and see later on, go to Galatians chapter 2 now. Verse 11 to 14. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him in the face. To the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that son of man came from James, he did not eat with me. He did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself for the circumcision. And the other Jew dissembled likewise with him, in so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them, oh, if you, Peter, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jew, why compel you, the Gentiles, to live as do the Jews? You see, Paul, he was protecting his gospel, the truth that he had. Here was Peter, but he was praying hypocrisy. Peter knew the truth, that it's okay to eat with the Gentiles. But when he sees all those, we were obviously the officials of Jerusalem, not around, he will eat with the Gentiles. But when he sees those, their officials coming, or somehow he spot them, he will withdraw away
like not to mix with the Gentiles.
Now, this caused problem because all those who were wondering what's going on, and even Barnabas were kind of confused, you know. He sort of followed what Peter was doing. Now, if you have a revelation standard, you don't want to play two sides. And that's why Paul stood in the face and rebuked him for his hypocrisy. And Paul was, why? You see, Paul take a stand, like we read early on in Galatians 1:12. He said, I neither received of man, neither was I taught him, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was never a disciple of Jesus. Or he was a man born out of due season. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. A member of the Sanhedrin. Big guy. Right? But Jesus met him on the way to Damascus when he was going to do the dirty jobs of God, arresting all those who believe in the way, to bring them to justice, to be judged and put them in the prison or whatever. And the Lord saved him. And taught him and showed him the revelation. He was a man born out of due season, because all of those other apostles, and I told you before, those disciples that walked with Jesus, they were still bound so much by tradition. They want to hold on to the tradition. They find it hard to be loose from it. You know. So God used Paul. Of course, by the time that Paul preached those gospels before, you know, after a couple of years down the road, many of the apostles realized that Paul's teaching was truly of God. And his revelation was deeper than they ever seen. In depth, more, what we'll say, more brought forth light to what salvation is about, what grace is all about. Not being attached to the law, still bound to the law. You see. So it takes some time, but it was 2 years after Christ ascended or so that Paul came into the gospel. You know. And so then, as Paul continued preaching, people began to learn, and that's why Paul would not suffer anyone to come against the very truth that he received from Christ. 1 Corinthians 14, 36 to 37. What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the thing that I write unto you are the commandments of God. Yeah, you go, you see that? What an arrogant man. Sometimes you think, what an arrogant man, isn't it? Huh? Hey, any of you who think you're a prophet or a preacher, you better take heed to what I said, they are from God. You see how he said that? Because you know what he know. Those things that he received from God, from Christ, they were true. They were true. They were not something of his imagination. And you know something, when Paul began to teach all those things, he was drawing example, he was drawing the prophetic word from the Old Testament. You see. He was not standing on thin ice, fantasy, imagination. You understand what I'm saying? And because all this, the revelation that God wants to give to us, as far as doctrines are concerned, through Paul, and Paul used the Old Testament to draw and base on it, and today we see a clearer light of what Paul is talking about, and we should have seen, we should see a clearer light. The Old Testament, the New Testament, and today we see both Testament in one. We should be able to see that. You know. And so Paul said, Paul make that stand. And so we know that Paul was not someone that anybody could meddle with, can argue with. He know what he believed in. He know what he had received from Christ. So Paul was that messenger. Now in that time, of course, Paul's was not, you know, under any organization. He did not answer. He's not answerable to the council in Jerusalem. Do you understand what I'm talking about? No. You see. Because Jerusalem was the first city where Christianity started. But to Paul, the gospel liberates a person. It's not bound by law, it's not bound by an organization. You understand that? But he knows that God used the apostle to bring about the truth. And that's why in his stand, as we see later on about what he stands as being an apostle. First, I mean Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. You see, Paul here said, Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not a man, not of a man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul, an apostle, not a man, is not sent by Jerusalem. Like today, we have apostles and denomination, or Pentecostal, they are sent by the headquarters. You understand what I'm saying? Just that very nice. He was a bishop sent, you know, controlled by the BWO over in America. You see. And he had to do what they asked him to do. But when he came to that message, he left. Right? And had nothing. No house, no cars anymore, no salary. And his congregation, his big church, they could sit 1,000 or 2,000 or something like that, is gone. And so what does Brother Jim have today? He had only but a few numbers of young men and women who are college students. You see. But he lived by faith. His ministry at this present moment, as we know it, since he left the denomination, is not a man. If he's free to serve in the Lord, as the Lord dictated for him to do. Galatians 2, verse 3, 4, and 5. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren were brought in, who came in privately to spite our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we give place by subjection, no, not for 1 hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You see, Paul is saying that we are not tied to any organization or anybody's counsel. Every time there is a problem, perhaps the first time when the Gentiles came into the gospel, they don't know what to do, so those in Jerusalem, they gather together, the elders, the apostles get together, they discover what to do with it. That's the council. They have to set a criteria what to do with these people, or give them some laws to hold on to. That's the reason why, in that first council, after they settled, they wrote to Gentiles, don't fornicate. Right? Keep away from fornication. As I said this before, as if the Jew don't fornicate. Huh? Don't eat blood. As if the Jews never eat blood. Is it true? Get away from idol. As if the Jews never have idol. Huh? Look the whole scripture in Old Testament. How many of these Jews worship idol? Huh? But why did they bring this thing in? You see, it's because when you have a council, ministers meeting. You know what? I don't like all this ministers meeting nonsense. There are always a ministers meeting, is come around, sit together and settle one problem, I mean settle one doctrine, we'll try to settle one doctrine. Now, when the ministers gather together, this should be how to solve a problem that they face in the church. Not about doctrine. You understand what I'm saying? Does God deal with a group ministers meeting? And that's why they have ministers meeting in the first council. And later on, that's why we have the Nicene Council with all these ministers out there discussing, and they come up with what? God is true. Baptism in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And today what do we have? The Ecumenical Council. They're sent together. What do they discuss? Huh? Is it about problem in the church? No. It's about doctrine. Oh yeah, you are Baptist, you're Lutheran, you're Episcopal. You know, we are different doctrines, so now let us settle for one major thing. Don't talk about doctrine. You believe the Bible? Good. You believe the Bible? Good. You believe the Bible? Good. Then let us all just believe the Bible, but don't talk about doctrine. And let us have one statement, a motto, and agree upon it. What was it? The fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. You have one father, you're all brothers and sisters. You want to call your Pope, the Pope your brother in Christ? Is it? There are many out there, they call themselves brothers, they are not brothers. That's why we have this problem. When you are counseled, you have a problem. You should sit together and see how to deal with problem in the church. Not about doctrine. God don't work with a group of people. Ragnar. Yes. Frank. What you need to do as a minister is to go into your quiet hours in your room. Pray and fast if you want to know truth. And God will show it to you. If you are called of God. That's your duty. Not to seek the opinions of others. And of course, doesn't mean that you go into a room and you come out, I got a revelation, you come out of there with a bunch of twisted revelation. You need to be careful. Alright, let us continue now. 1 Corinthians, anyway, chapter 2. Verse 1 to 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declare unto you the testament of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not the enticing word of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And the power of God is in His word. Now here is where I want to mention, I want to say something about authority and about truth. What do we have today? We see in some churches and some men, how they use some supernatural thing that they claim to have, or signs and miracles that they have, and make that their authority. You know, the Bible said that the preaching of the apostles was followed by signs and miracles, right? Confirming the word. Now, many denominations have taken that, especially the Pentecostal and the Charismatic. You see, I have prayed for people and they are healed. You go on YouTube, they have a lot of that. People are already praying for and people get healed. Yes. And some will say, remember, you have seen my ministry. They are miracles, they are signs. They are confirming what I preach to be true. They will use that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Signs and wonder confirm. What truth is he talking about? He confirmed the gospel that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you understand? Look at the evangelist, T. Osborne. Look at many of these great evangelists. Back in the early 20th century. Many of them were even Trinitarian. But they prayed for the sick. It happens. It happens. They heal. Miracles happen. But they can they come and tell you, you see, that my doctrine of the Trinity is true because of these signs and wonders. They will use that. But that's not what the Bible says. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You look at what Brother Abraham did. One time he went over to America. I mean, he was in America somewhere. It was a witch meeting that we talked about on Friday. Where there were witches and they raised the table. Right? The table was floating in the air. And then Brother Abraham take the situation, take the opportunity. And somehow I can remember to record. But he used the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said to the table, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, come down. The table flew into the air. Because in witchcraft, in witches, they use all kinds of names, right? They use the name of whatever the Baal gods are anyway. Black magic. And the tables close. And brothers, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it's there. And I don't know whatever other name he's trying to use that he used, I can't remember. And the tables still remember. And he stood down and he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come down. And the tables slammed to the floor. You see what? It's the name! Right? That is to be lifted up. It's the gospel that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that is to be lifted up. Signs and wonders confirm who he was. That's all. It doesn't confirm that whatever rubbish that you preach are from God. But that's what people do. That's why you see there's a difference between authority and truth. Now, can Paul come up to the people and say, now, you see all this work that I have done? You better take heed to what I preach to you, they are all true. He wouldn't say that. Because all those things, they were not hosting their authority. The vindication is something that God allows to show what the ministry stands for. Like, for example, Brother Bear had this halo on the head. Photograph took in the halo and all the signs. Okay, not only these are just signs. Okay, we can say it's a vindication that this was a man of God. The signs are one that, yeah, this was a man of God. That's a vindication that he was a man of God. But Brother Bear would not use that as if those things was his authority. Or that whatever he said, therefore, are truth. But that's what we have to the problem today with many churches and ministers. They do whatever they so-called supernatural thing, or the real supernatural thing, and make it the authority, and authority is truth. The authority is not truth. But truth is authority. I'm talking about. Alright. Jesus stood there at the tomb of Sepulchre of Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth! Some people say, you see? But again, there's authority, and Lazarus, come forth. I said, no. There's no authority. That is truth. Because he is the truth. Because he is the resurrection of the life, that is truth. And truth is authority! You understand what I'm saying? Our authority is not truth. You know when we make a statement that the head of the church is the pastor, right? Yeah. But that doesn't make, that's what makes so many of these in the Branham Man camp. The pastor, whatever the pastor says, everything everybody must do, you know. And even to such an extent that we have in the churches today, in some churches, the pastor will dictate, so-and-so you should marry so-and-so. So-and-so, you should not marry so-and-so. You must leave your father. You must leave your mother. Give me an account of authority. Where does it come from? He made himself your authority by the words of Brother Branham. And that's what the Branham Mike are taking the words of Brother Branham and making their truth. They caught all the words of Brother Branham and make it their truth. Because to them, there was authority. To them, that's authority, and so it must be true. Yes, wrote a nice story in India, that some of them say they don't even read the Bible. They take the scripture. I mean, they take the quotes of Brother Brand. A man's word is not authority. It's not truth. Until the truth is there, within him. That's why Paul says, you know, I didn't come to you with all these things. trying to tell you what I do and this and that, as if that they are all the truth. He said, what I preach is in the wisdom of God. And that wisdom of God is the truth that I'm giving to you. You understand that? Alright, let's continue. 2 Corinthians 12:11. Paul has the evidence, of course, of all that his ministry show. I have become a fool in glory, and you have compelled me, for I ought to have been commanded of you. For in nothing am I behind the very cheapest apostles, though I be nothing. Paul said to those in Corinthians, you know, you just commend me for what I am, but because you did commend me, and so I boast a little bit. You made me like a fool and let you know who I am. Because it's always up to them. It's a lot. Well, you know, I think that we should give credit to whom credit is due. Is that right? Sure. You know. But there are people that don't. You know, I was on the internet last night, so I was just trying to just look at Google to find out the web page, what will be shown when you type certain things. So I type prophetic revelation, just like that, and of course, prophetic revelation hit the first lead on the list. And then I saw, oh my, just below, and maybe about 6 or 7 places down below, prophetic revelation is prophetic revelation that, and that's not my, not from my website. And I realized, and I clicked on the website, I saw that this guy was pretty smart. You know, there's a lot of hit on prophetic revelation. So he put on one page of his, just one page only, on the start page of in that page. Every message he had, he put in the front, prophetic revelation, then a title of his message. Prophetic revelation, message. See how smart he is? Huh? So that the spider will crawl and then find all the prophetic revelation and put it there. You understand? And he click on the message, he just go to a message on audio, that's it. Because you know there's a lot of heat on prophetic revelation. So then I start to type prophetic revelation to serpent seed. And pops up what I have. Still, of course, our website is on the top. But then I look below, right down below on the first page, and I see this guy and I send it to you. A man also, you know, came across our website about the serpent seed. And so it's kind of, the people are curious to look at where to go. They want to look for. And he, only this man is interested in truth, in what he wanted to look for. But whether he will accept the message that we have today, I do not know. Then I went to another link in the YouTube. This guy, he's a singer. He plays music on the organ. If you look at the website, you know, he plays organ. And then, the original scene, the second scene. Then I click on it, and in the video, he was streaming. What did he stream? He was playing the organ, and was streaming all the chords on my all the full what we call my article about the second scene or the original scene. Right? You remember my book on what is the original scene? There are two parts. The first part is what is the original scene? The second is the second scene. He caught the first portion, although he tucked it up and let it stream as he played music. And then at the end of it, he did not give me credit, but he said, the original scene, the second scene, inspired. The song, the music is inspired by original scene, the second scene. So I was wondering, did he play this music because he was inspired? And he does like English streams. I said, well, okay, let them know wrong with that. But you see, that's what Paul is saying, that God's ministry, minister, they need to be respected, to be honored. You see? And Paul said to Corinth, you didn't command me. And therefore I have to boast a little bit. I must act like a fool. And 1 Corinthians 9:2. If I be not an apostle unto you, well, okay then, yet doubtless I am unto others. For the seal of my apostleship are you in the Lord. If I be not an apostle unto others, no doubt, I am to you. Because the seal of my apostleship are in you. I can send a lot of people, you know, in the world, you know, but many of them don't accept me as an apostle. That's no problem. I said, but my seal of apostleship are in many churches. Because I raised them up in the truth. I laid the foundation and I make sure that they know what truth really is. Today, a lot of people don't think much about apostle ministry. They say just one of those that come and go and that's it. And the problem is that there are many people who wanted to be apostle. And that's where we have a problem. And we need to know what an apostle is. And the level of apostle ministry that you are in. 2 Corinthians 11:2. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I espouse you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Oh, you see how assured that he was. And the churches that he ministered to, even Corinthians, what a mess he was in. Because they were very calm. And when Paul was not around, certain converts from the Pharisaical, from the Pharisaical sect intruded into them. And slowly here and there, then, you know, some became carnal so much so they even married their father's wife. So that is what we see. Paul guarded his ministry. Paul guarded the truth that he had. The truth that he gave out to those whom he preached to. And make sure that these people stay on it. Acts 20:30. You know, Apostle Paul died in the year 67 AD. But he died 67 AD. And the last apostle to die was John, the beloved. After he was in prison on the Isle of Patmos, he was released. And he went to pastor in Ephesus for I think two or three years before he died. You know. But Paul died in 67 or 64, depends on the calendar you use, as I said, about a floating time. But when the church had started, as you see in Acts 2:30, here, Luke wrote what Paul said. He says, of your own self shall man arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So the church has really started then. Not very long after, you know, Paul came into the ministry and preached for about 18, 17 years, about the year 53 AD. Cares are already there, being sold. And as you know from the parable of Jesus Christ in Matthew 13, that the tares will have to learn to grow side by side with the wheat until the end time, when the harvest comes in. And we are living in the end time where the harvest is now in the process. Acts 13:46. Let's see what some of these verses that we have gone through before I go any further. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing that you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded, I saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentile, that thou should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. So, that's why we have the mystery of God. How there was prophesied in the Old Testament that the Jew would be a light to the Gentile. And so because now that the Jew refused the gospel that Paul preached, Paul said, now I go to the Gentile. And we are Gentiles. As I said, we are all dogs. And we are wild olive. We are the wild olive trees. Our branches, we will say. But God has grafted us into the olive tree. The natural, original olive tree. Why some branches rejected the truth, they were cut off and we were grafted in. So we consider as privileged people to be part of the household of God. And there is no such thing as Jew and Gentile as far as the gospel is concerned. Rich or poor, and such like. Verse 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And we see later also in Acts 18:1-8. We don't have to read it. That also the same thing Paul mentioned when he preached to the Jew and he tried his best to win the Jew over. Yet when they rejected it, Paul said, "Now I've really turned to the Gentiles." All right. Now the foundation of Paul that he laid. Let us go to 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, Corinthians 3, sorry, not 13. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another build thereupon. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, verse 10, I want you to look at the Bible very carefully. It says here, I have laid the foundation. That's what the King James Version would say, and many translations would say. But some translation remove the word the and put er, which is more appropriate in a sense. Because why? There is no article in the Greek. That is to say, I have laid foundation. You understand? So question now is, was it the foundation or her foundation? There is in America, as we know, a preacher who believes in the doctrine that he preaches, or revelation he had, so he said, that there are two gospels. One, the gospel to the Jew, which Peter preached to, and the gospel to the Gentile, which Paul preached. So there are two separate different gospels. It's not true. It's not true. Paul said that Peter, preached to the Jew because he was very effective in that. Whereas I am effective to take the gospel to the Gentiles. But there is only one gospel, not two. There were never two gospels at all. And now there are two gospels today. One gospel. But the Jew are those who wanted to keep the law. And so, Peter preached to them. Let them hold on to the law as they want to. But Paul preached total grace. They are not different gospel. It's only that the Jew could not see it. Do you understand? And so the man wicked has two different gospels. And he taught that therefore, you see, Paul laid the foundation, as if it was the foundation for the Gentiles, not for the Jews. That's not what he actually means. Let me say this, that if you look into the book of 1 Corinthians here, where you're looking at, Paul wrote this book to the Corinthians, right? It was this church of Corinthians, he said to them, not to anybody else, to this Corinthians, he said, I laid the foundation for you. Now I have to say the same to some of the churches out there that I ministered to. I can tell them, I say, I laid the foundation for you. I laid the foundation in this church. You understand what I'm talking about? You see? The church at Ephesus. Paul founded it. Right? He laid the foundation there. He could say the same thing like he said to the Corinthians. I laid the foundation. You understand what I'm talking about, huh? And therefore, every man come to this church, taking how he built upon it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But there are some that say it is our foundation. Okay. Then you would say, if you want to say our foundation, Then you will have to say, it's one of those 12 foundations. It's not something new. You understand? It's not, because the holy city New Jerusalem, how many foundations do you see that? In the book of Revelation, the holy city New Jerusalem, how many foundations does that building have? How many? 12. 12 foundations, 12 gates. The gates are the patriarchs of the Old Testament, the oracles that was given them. And the apostles took those oracles of the Old Testament and then laid the foundation. So you can say that for Paul is laying a foundation. And it's one of the 12. Because Matthias was only voted in by the council out there or by the apostles. Was not called of God directly. So there have only been 12 foundations. But the man over in America, he said that there are 13 foundations. Because the 12 foundations are on the city wall. Right? He says they are the Jewish foundation. But the Gentile foundation, they are right in the city. So wow, what do you find in the Bible? What do you get in the scripture? That's why you get all this fantasy, imagination, and try to put it in the center. What don't you say it's on top? Be much better. You see, people come up with that. Instead of looking at the Bible very carefully, hey, don't twist the scripture out of context. In this verse here, Paul said to the Corinthians, I laid the foundation for you. And he said to them, and another will build on it. But let every man take it how he built upon it. And you want to say, okay, like some would argue, it's a foundation. I'm not going to argue with you. Then what a foundation will refer to? One of the 12. Find out. A church can only have one foundation you lay. A local church. Someone has to lay the foundation. And another must build upon it how he built on that which was already laid. Right? That's the reason why Paul later on said, for no other foundation can any man lay than which is already laid, which is Christ. Paul came and laid the foundation, and he anchored the truth in Christ Jesus. If Jesus Christ is the truth, he is the foundation of the church. I am the builder. I build on it and anchor on it. And don't you ever come around and play with it. You see. Romans 15:20. Yes, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. You see that? You see what Paul is saying? I go where God sent me. I'm not going to go to a place where someone already claimed that this is his church, he laid a foundation. I'm not going there to try to build on it. You understand? You see, like an end time message. Oh, you know, there's certain place you cannot go because that's not your territory. That territory belongs to such and such a man. That is his church. You understand? As opposed to, I'm not going to go there to build when already somebody laid a foundation. What kind of foundation it is, it doesn't bother him. If God only sent Paul, like any true minister, they will be led to go where God leads them. They don't go just because they feel that they wanted to go. To preach the gospel in this place or that place. If it is not the calling of God, not being led by the Spirit of God, don't want you ever try that. Acts 20:27, for I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. You see that? I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. All that which God showed me. What's in the mind of God. What God had counsel. What God had planned. I show them to you. So, I'm not shunned to declare to you. He didn't hold anything back. He didn't keep some. You know, like in the Chinese Kung Fu? If a Kung Fu master have disciples, right, he's very careful. If he has 12 disciples, he's looking at the disciples, and he will not impart all his counsel, all his Kung Fu tactic or technique of whatever to all of them. He will keep one. The one that is the best that will overcome
Anyone want to attack him?
But he will look for one among them
that is very faithful and perhaps impart that to him.
Huh? Paul did not say, I'm going to show you all the counsel, but I'll keep one for myself. No. He declared all the which God showed him.
He didn't hold anything back.
You see. And the picture that Paul painted of all that which God showed him, the plan, all the Old Testament coming forth, revealing it. You understand that? But of course, God did not show everything to Paul, because he kept some and showed it to the last disciple, that was John. But what Paul had was practically all the doctrines and the teaching and the plan and the purposes of God. Whereas in John, it was all prophetic of what is in his days and the future, into our days. They are prophetic. And of course, in the prophetic words, there are always some doctrines too. Because they help to sort of join, right, and lock into all the other epistles of the other apostles. Verse 28, take him down unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. And now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have covered no man's silver or gold or apparel. Oh, Paul said, after my departing. Oh, you know, Paul, he knows what's going to happen. Because when he preached down there in the congregation of people, he see they are always envious men. You know what I mean? Oh, come on. You can see among the people that listen to him. He knows there are some of them that are very envious of him. Among them are people who wanted to have the preeminent. But because as long as Paul was there, hey, they keep what? They stand in the shadow. They lie low. But the moment that Paul departed, this fellow all come out like wolves, ready to become the leader of the pack. Do you know it? Sometimes you wonder, where is the ministry today of men like Paul? Who boldly declared the truth and had a backing for the thing that he teaches. You understand what I'm telling you? Paul said this, I warn them, I warn every one of you, day and night, I pray without ceasing for you. My goodness, he knew what was going there among these people. And yet, you know what? In the last verse of Revelation 33, I covered no man's silver or gold or apparel. That is very true, huh? But you know what? But there are a lot of ministers that covered another man's gold, silver, and apparel. So what is a minister? Huh? You see, Paul is just like this. He was aware of what was among some of those ministers, some of these men. They wanted to be somebody. And Paul knew about this. And you know what? Oh, let me just talk about some of these people that Paul talks about. 1 Corinthians 1, and let's see how the Paul mentioned the name.
And today when we mention him, people get all very upset. We're not mentioning it to run down, but for the truth or for the error that they preach, we have to tear it down. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11. For you have been declared to me one of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contention among you. Now this I say, that every one of you say that I am of Paul, and I am Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or even were ye baptized in the name of Paul? So now Paul is again this schizo. Okay. Now we look into this Sturgeon. We see a character there. Men who want to have who have great ambition to be somebody. Sturgeon, the temple of John, verse 9. Here is John, not Paul. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Well, there are some that want preeminence. Want to always sit in a big chair. Just such a character like this. And he's so proud that he would not receive the disciple. I mean the apostle. That's terrible. Alright, another. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. And verse 2 Timothy, sorry, chapter 1, verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Progenith and Hermogenes. You see? These are the ones that have turned away from me. They have gone backslidden. Rejected what Paul teaches. Whatever they have built for themselves. I mean, all these years that I have been, the Philippines, India, Africa, and you know, seeing some of these churches that I have been with, after 1 or 2 years, somebody came around to that church. Just tear them up. You know. Why? It's because of silver and of gold that they are looking for. So these are ministers, men who seek filthy lucre, who only desire wealth and money and popularity itself. Now I told you this when I was in Malawi many, many years ago. I went up there to preach. 5 minutes, I was told to sit down by the pastor. And he went up to the pulpit and started to say, Brother Branham was the absolute, he was the absolute, he is still the absolute for us, and blah, blah, blah. And recently I heard that he came to the understanding and told someone, the Brother Branham is correct. People are easily influenced, and many of them have influenced my money. If not, then it's that they want to be popular, to be someone. Then we have the case over in 1 Timothy 1:20. Here Paul mentioned to Timothy, these people. And he openly wrote this to Timothy, and this letter, well, was circulated back at that time. Read among by many people. He said here in verse 20, of whom? Well, we read verse 18. This I charge thee unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwrecked, of whom is Hymenaeus, an Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Oh, people will blaspheme God by blaspheming the word, by blaspheming the thing the Paul teach was not true, by not saying it's upon the bottomless pit, by calling him a devil, or that he's worse than the devil. Hey, brother and sister, let me tell you something here. If a brother sin or a sister sin, don't you ever open your big fat dirty mouth and say that she or he is worse than the devil. What made you to judge like that because someone that he is worse than the devil? When a brother or sister sin, the first thing that you ignore about it, don't let anybody else know. Deal with that case. If you cannot deal with him and try to get him to the truth, make it known to the elders, and the elders will deal with it. Right? If it's not done that way, then what happened? Then the poor guy, you're punishing him as if really that he's the worst in the devil. Oh, brother. Sisters. The one that is sitting beside you, in front of you, behind you. If you know them to be Christian, believers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, love them, deal with them. Every one of us have problems. Every one of us have weakness. Right? And we have to deal with it. I cannot deal with your problem that you have. You have to fight it. And Paul taught him how to fight a good warfare. For the gospel sitting out there, stand for the truth. But you are your personal life. That's John, Brother John was here when he led the song. Yeah. Jesus said, isn't he? Carry your own cross and follow me. Your problem, you solve it. Your family life problem, you solve it. Your vices. Whatever your vices may be. Time spent on the internet. Time chatting on your Facebook and your Twitter. And whatever else is out there now. Huh? The drinking. The gluttony. You have to deal with it. But that no one of us ever called a brother or a sister is the worst of them. You understand? So we have disconnected the poor mentioned here. Yeah. The one, they're ambitious. They seek for power and they all want to be the men of the parties, so to speak, in the church. So this is one that, well, you know, Paul said in one place, he said, how did the church fall apart? Huh? The war came from where? War came from within you. That is in the book of James. Am I right? In the book of James. A war came from my mind? I think James 4. Yeah. I see James chapter 4. Just look at James chapter 4. And verse 1 to 2. From whence cometh war and fighting among you? Come there not hence even of your lust, the war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight the war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume upon your lust. Where did war come from? Did war come from within your own self, inside you? And within the inside, it's in the church as well. That's why you started it. Right? Where did war come from within you? You desire to be somebody. You lust after something. And so, yes, one, that's one, and everybody have the same worry in themselves, and that will cause the whole problem in the whole body of Christ. War within. And yet you seek for it, you fight for it, you don't get it because it's not given to you in the first place. You only destroy yourself. You got it? 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 7, 1 to 3. Before we go there, let me say this. The apostles were the main trusting body in the early as the church began. By the time, of course, when Paul started ministering the word, God began to deal with the churches and bring forth the fivefold ministry. But the fivefold ministry at that time never did perfect the bride. Because Tess was already there and all the masters were there, right? And so God allowed it to grow until the end time. Well, in the end time, the fivefold ministry will become a reality. You see, still headed by the apostolic ministry. Because it began with the apostolic ministry that laid the foundation are all cracked up, as you see in the Dark Ages. And then with the message that God sent to the prophet to bring us back to the Word, now the fivefold ministry come into play and begin to lay all that foundation. Restore, put all those stones back the way it should be. Begin with the apostle, it must end with the apostle. You understand that, don't you? So we need to check all that which we receive today. Whatever is being preached by Paul's word. Let us go, let us go back to Revelation quickly. Revelation chapter 2, verse 3. Here we have, it says that, thou hast born and have patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Now here we have Ephesus, which we say in the first place that the first meaning of Ephesus means desirable, in that, but after a while it becomes so relaxed. And the second meaning came into play, and they began to be so relaxed, they drifted away from the truth. Is that right? But one thing about the Ephesus, right in that church there, and even in those church age, they are true believers, the saints, as in verse 2 said, they will test those who call themselves apostles, and they found that they are liars, that they are not. And so today in the world we have a lot of people call themselves apostles, but they don't even know what apostles are. But how did you test an apostle? Hear an apostle, heal the sick. Show me that you can heal the sick. That's what denomination said. If you are an apostle, do me a miracle. It's not what the Bible said. The Bible said they test them whether they are apostles. How do you test an apostle? How do you know what is an apostle? This man can do miracle, that man can do miracle. Everybody said can do miracle. Okay, they can do miracle. So what? This guy have Trinity teaching. This guy have eternal hellfire for you. Huh? And all the different teaching. How do you test an apostle? You test them by the word of Paul. You test them. That's how these Ephesus test them. Somebody came along and preached any other gospel that which Paul preached. They know these are liars, they are not apostles. That's why we talk about restoring our faith back to the apostolic ministry. Go back to the Father. Malachi 4, 5, 6. Huh? Elijah turned the heart of the children of this end time back to the Apostolic Father's faith. What they have that was given to us. That's how you test an apostle. You understand? But you know, they age after a while, they get so comfortable, they drifted away, and so that's what happened. Revelation 2:4. Nevertheless, I somewhat against you, because thou have left thy first love. So what is the first love that they left? First Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4:11. 1 Timothy 4, sorry, not 4:11. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience sealed with the hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving, and so on and so forth. In the last day, this is what is going to happen. that they, people will give, depart from the faith, give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies in hypocrisy. You cannot do this, you cannot do this, you must do this, you might marry this girl, you cannot marry this girl, you cannot, you must leave your father and stay with this one. And all kinds of things coming out! Oh yeah. And then someone will say, listen to me. Because of my authority. But for what I'm saying to you, they are true. Oh, this is what we have in Nigeria. This is what we have in Nigeria. Oh yes. What happened? I thought to bring the book of Billy Joseph. You know about Billy Joseph? I've been with Asia once. I went to the Philippines. I want to say this because it is in his book. Well, else I won't mention it. He sent me 4 books. And in the 4 books, he gave his take or gave his testimony in some way. And they exposed all this deception that is out there in his own country. A couple of years ago, back, when Billy Joseph came across this man's ministry, of the Nigerian man who called himself the lead apostle, I must not mention his name, it's Amos Omoboruawu, how you pronounce that? His name Amos. And I didn't know about it until one day one of the members of the church sent me an email. He said, Brother Gan, do you know that Brother Billy Joseph is preaching against what you preach, that you once told us, that the sin of hell? He's preaching differently. And he also is now going to this cheap apostle thing. So I took the phone and called Brother Billy Joseph. I said, Brother Billy Joseph, this is what I heard, that you are getting into this cheap apostle. Oh, no, Brother Kent. I'm just reading the book, the contenders of Brother Jackson. I believe there is something in it. But I'm not associated with this anymore. I said, no. But no sooner after that, a couple of weeks or months down the road, he was into it. And I told him to get out of it. I told him that that's not true about there's something a chip apostle. But you see, the deception was very strong. And in the book that he wrote, these 4 books that he sent to me, he said he was taken into it. Oh yeah. A lot of people don't realize. Sometimes you'll get so you know how demons really work? Huh. A lot of people don't realize, huh? It's just that people come and say, hey, come on, drink some beer. It's okay, some beer. By and by you drink it, you become a drunk. Huh? You understand? Try a little bit of this cigarette, or this tablet, whatever. And by and by you get hooked into it. That's how the devil would lure you, little by little, and present it as so nice. And he said, I fell into it. But you know what? The church was all messed up. Brother Nice coming, Baragam, please write something, do something. That's when I finally wrote the book on Religo. When I sent it down there, they read it. And Brother Billy Joseph said in his text message, this book is for me. He came out of that mess. And he deal with the consequences of the problem that he created. And he said, I make a mistake. I was deceived with this thing. Then he wrote a book to expose and how that this man, Amos, he caught Brother Branham, he caught Brother Jackson, as if they were the authority. For what he said is true. You are following me? He took the scripture, twisted it, typing, and Brother Billy was showing in one book how that he twists the scripture to show types and shadow to pertain to that he is the lead apostle. happened at the same time. And yet, on this man Amos website, all the so-called supernatural light. You remember in my website, I deal with it, how did this reflector light come from my camera? There are so many still up there in his website. Anybody who see that these people, I don't even know what they're talking about. They say, "Oh, you see, brother!" They went out there to all these churches, all these Christians out there in the other church. "Brother, our church, we have supernatural light. We have a pillar of fire. God is with us. Amos is the lead apostle. He's the one that took you into the rapture, the perfection," and all this crap. What is truth? We are taken up by science and by all so-called things. The brothers that have discerning. The Bible said that. What did the Bible say in the book of 1 John 4:1? Read 1 John 4:1. You know the problem people have. "Brother God, do you believe in signs and miracles?" I said, "Yes, I do." "Do you believe in angel visitation?" "Of course I do." "Yes, if you tell me that you see angel last night." I said, "Good, wonderful. But don't come and tell me that your angel come and tell you and teach you doctrine." "Huh?" Which I said, the angel don't talk. Come and teach you doctrine. The angel is sending times of your need. Right? My mom had a vision of this angel flying. And then the vision changed to seeing the Last Supper of Christ. As immediately he asked my brother to go buy this big piece of rack or whatever, the carpet with the, the Last Supper. Sure. You know, when the angel came to Brother Branham, did he tell Brother Branham what to preach and how to preach? What to teach? No. He came to him with what? A commission. Is that right? If you get people to believe you. The angel never tell Brother Abraham to teach them the doctrine, what to teach. Because that's not their business. The church is mankind. They are not angels. There's no such thing as angelic church. Do you have? Angels, the church are not fallen creatures. We are the one that God is dealing with. And the angel, they are God's servant, ministering spirit. As far as the church is concerned for perfection, God sent men with His word to teach, to bring about the truth, show the plan of God. Sure, I believe angel. But you know what 1 John 4:1 said? Ha! Interesting, isn't it? He said this: "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets went unto the world." Believe not every spirit. Right, you tell me. But again, I talked to Jesus last night. He came and appeared to me. I said, "Good, wonderful." Another one told me. The angel came and talked to me. I said, "Okay, what's that?" What did he say to me? He says that, the communion can only be done once a year. Huh? Oh, he comes here and said, "Baptism cannot be done in the pool. It must be done in the river." And I was thinking that either you have a very wild imagination, or that you watch too many, or play too many Warcraft games on the computer. Then you come up with all this strange imagination. You understand what I'm talking about? The angels are not sent to teach you this, to correct the doctrine. Why? Because the word is already given. It's here. Is that right? It's here. You see, the word is already given. Why do you think that God is going to add more things to the word of God? And that's why people are adding Brother Branham's tapes and books to the word of God as it already is. A third testament. There's no such thing. So we, in closing this, Revelation 2:5. The church Remember when thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove that candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. And yes, the church fell in 96 AD. And the candlestick was removed in 120 years AD. Or as Brother Branham chose to use Brother Larkin, 170 AD. And when the church age go, the candlelight went off, the light must lit another age, another candlestick. Do you understand? But verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hast the deeds of the Nicolaitan, which I also had. This is one good thing. Even as the church start falling away, they start to tighten themselves. But, oh, the people are not tightening themselves in the truth, but what happened? Here comes some guy, some ambitious man. They want to control the laity. Now the word Nicolaitan comes from this belief that came from the name Nicholas, as one of the deacons, seven deacons that you find in the book of Acts. But apparently in history, he was not one who causes this. He lived a good life. And as a good believer, he died. But it is believed the word Nicolaitan come from the word Nicola. Means to say, let us eat. Just as the Pope, you know, in my track, the ecumenical movement, the Pope come onto the table of food. Let us eat. What is he eating? He's eating the congregation, the people, controlling them. Nicola, to eat, to consume. And he created this division of the clergy over the laity. And that's how it happened. They fell because of the tightened this thing. And not very long after that, that's where we have all this problem. But here it is that, as it is said, thou hate the deeds of the Nicolaitan. Those few, they were not under the control. Those that stand for the faith, they hated that. And as the Spirit said, he that have a ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him the overcomer will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What did Jesus say to the man dying Stephen? Today thou shalt be in paradise. Believe, hold on to the faith, and you will have what you want. You understand this? So I thank the Lord for that, for what he has given us. I know we have spent much time this already, but I want to say one more thought before I close. As I said this, if the church starts with the apostle, it has to end with the apostle's ministry. And as I testified this, and let me say this, the ministry of God, in the book that I wrote, The Foundation and the Wall, the city of Jerusalem is surrounded by a wall, right? You understand? The wall is to keep people that are the true citizens of that city safe inside the city, and to keep the enemy out. So it's either you are in or you are out. Around the wall there are towers. And some walls are higher, some towers are higher. And God placed around these walls, this wall, watchmen, to watch for enemy, to be able to see carefully, to be able to look at the condition of the city from where they stand. So all the watchmen are different height. Not all watchmen are the same. The higher you are put up in the tower, on the higher tower, the further you can see. And being that the city is, 6 miles square, I think. You know. And then, of course, wherever you're high up there, you should be able to see what's in the city, the condition itself, as you look out also for approaching enemies. So now everybody who claims themselves to be apostles have the same ability to see. When I was in Uganda, remember how that we had a meeting, the believer wanted to call a meeting for us to sit down and because there are some questions that they have, they want to ask. And here came two Ugandan men in white, dressed in white, with an attaché case, and they were the Branhamites. So they asked a question. You know, I don't know what question they asked. I was there without any question, any answer to prepare for them. Because God told me back then already in my ministry, take it to no thoughts what you should say. It will be given you in the hour when you would give the answer. So I stood there and the man stood up and says, we want to tell you that you are teaching false doctrine. Brother Branham said that Adam would have to speak to the dust of the ground to bring forth children and not through sex. And so I was standing there and the Lord opened my mouth. And the Lord gave me an illustration. So much so that everybody shut their mouth. The woman came in the kitchen in the far end, came up to listen to what I was saying. And I pulled no punches. I told them, what, if you can answer me, why did God give Eve a pair of breasts? What was the breast given for? If Adam were to speak to the dust, to bring forth children, and they are all big. When you create, when you bring forth life, they're all in maturity. Is that alright? God did not bring an egg into the world. He brought forth chicken. When he came Adam wasn't a baby. He was a man. So if Adam were to speak children into life, all of them will be adults. And then I ask him the question, you tell me, what was the breast of Eve for? I said, if you can tell me the answer, because the Bible tells us, when God created anything, that thing must have a purpose. So, can you tell me? If you can tell me, then you will have the answer. They cannot give me an answer. Then finally I told them, as the Holy Spirit, I was just under anointing, that I don't recall what I said until later. I stood down there and I looked at them. I said, you do not have the spirit of prophecy. You don't even understand what is prophetic utterance. If you don't have the revelation of the spirit of the understand prophetic revelation or prophetic utterance, you will not understand the things of God. And I stood there and said to them, this man standing here, I know what prophetic utterance is all about. I can listen to what Brother Branham said. He uttered a prophecy. He uttered some prophetic words. I can take it to the scripture and understand it. I said, you don't have it. And everybody was looking. Even today, some of the scripture in the Bible are so hard to interpret. And there was one that was brought up last night in the email to me. I will share with you some other time how to deal with that. Don't read the scripture as if it's so simple to look at, because the Bible, they are full of metaphor, euphemism, figure of speech, right? And many, many different forms. That's why people take it just like it, not realizing what they are reading. You get it? May the Lord bless you. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. Give strength to us in this last day, Father, because Satan is going about like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour. But for the word of God that we have, Father, and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, strengthen each and every one of us, Father. That Lord, you open our eyes to the word that we receive. and that we may stand steadfast in this hour of great confusion. That's what Paul laid down for us, Lord. Help us to return back to the very revelation and the gospel of this great man of yours. I thank you for your grace, Father. Bless this fellowship now. Bless the word in Jesus' name. Amen.